You are listening to BensTorah.com.
The Rabbeinu Shalom literally is greater and bigger than the entire universe that he created at the time of Masa Bereishis. What is the reason, what is the rationale that we should have a mitzvah, Asu l'migdash v'shechanti b'sochem, that we should make a Beis HaMikdash to contain the holy sanctified essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is it feasible, is it even practical for us to even believe that we could build a house that's going to literally encapsulate the Shechinah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's physically impossible. And the Rabbeinu Shlomo in Tanach already says it, you know, Eizah Bayis Asher Tivnuli. What kind of bayis are you going to build for me that's going to encapsulate all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That is a practical impossibility. So therefore, you have to ask yourself, if that's the case, and we know that Moel Aretz Kavod, Hashem's divine presence is all over, Hashemayim Shemayim LaHashem Aras Nasan L'Vnei Adam, heaven is the abode of Hashem and the earth here is for human beings. So what is the meaning, what is the significance of building a Beis HaMikdash? And secondly, even after building the Beis HaMikdash, what is the purpose of the various sacred vessels that were contained in the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim? We had, between all these two sections, we had the Mizbeach Hazav, that they burnt the Keteres. We had the menorah that was lit each and every day. We had the Shulchan of the Lechem Apanim that was changed from week to week. And in the inner part of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we had the Aron HaKodesh. Four major holy vessels that are mandated and described in the Parsha HaShavua. We'll be discussing this week and subsequent weeks. So the question is, what is the purpose of these kelim? What is their symbolism? What is their significance? So listen very carefully as we put this together, and after a while you'll get an understanding of what all of this is about. The first thing I want to mention, going back to my basic question, what is the reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to build a Beis HaMikdash, Asu l'Migdash v'Shechanti b'Seichel? So the answer is, on a very pashuta level, that people unquestionably, when they think about the Rabbeinu Shalom and where the Rabbeinu Shalom is, so there's a pasuk that says, Hashemayim Shemayim LaHashem, Oras Nasam V'nei Adam. The Rabbeinu Shalom is in all the heavenly abodes. The earth is the place where human beings live. And therefore, the concept articulated by this type of pasuk is the transcendence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine presence in the magnificent universe he built. It's above that. And therefore, Hashem seems to be very far away. He's very transcendent. In fact, there's Shiva HaRakiyim, and his abode is in the highest one of these specific transcendent divine abodes, way above the physical universe that we are physically in. But on the other hand, Torah tells us, Mol Aretz Kaveda, Hashem's divine presence fills the entire expanse of the entire universe, which means, as transcendent as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, there is a divine immanence that can be felt in the entire physical, terrestrial world in which we live. You just have to know where to look for it and where to find it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is capable of anything, has a divine presence that is transcendent, Shemayim Shemayim LaHashem, but he also has the divine presence that's perceptible on the face of this earth that shows imminence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And one of the places that Rabbeinu Shalom wanted us to build a house on the face of this earth, he didn't just want us to build a house any place. He wanted us to build a house, a Migdash, in the interior of Eretz Israel. And not any part of Eretz Israel. Ultimately, the place where we're going to have the Makam HaMikdash built was going to be in Tzion, which later on was identified with Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. And even Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, it wasn't going to be built just any place in Yerushalayim, but it was going to be built in a specific section That's going to be on Har HaMoriah, where the temple complex was going to be built. And in that temple complex, as big as it is, there's going to be a specific section in this temple complex that is called the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And in this interior place, in the Makam HaMikdash, you're going to have contained all the four holy vessels I mentioned before. And the holiest vessel and the holiest place contained in the Makam HaMikdash was the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where the Aron HaKodesh was placed, literally in the center of the universe. Chazal tell us it was placed on a Makam that is called, in the world of Halach and Hashkafa, the place where you have the Evan HaShasiyah, you have the foundation stone of Briyat HaOlam. We believe Be'emunah Shleima that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world of Yesh Me'ayim, something from nothing, creation ex nihilo, as is said in the non-Jewish world, and creating something from nothing, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the capacity to do a thing like this. The creation he created in the first physical substance was called the foundation stone, the Evan Shasiyah of the world. And that Evan Shasiyah happens to be located. And later on, where the Kodesh HaKadoshim was placed, there was a peak of this rock stone abutting above the ground. And it's on this specific flat rock above the ground that they put the Aron HaKodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It therefore means that primordial matter that exists in this universe is contained physically on Har HaBayis today. It's in the place where the actual the rock of Briyat Olam is physically there. Supposedly the dome of the rock that was made later on by the Arab world is encompassing this specific rock material. There's a big debate amongst the Gedolei HaRishonim and Achronim whether that's the case or not. But that was the idea of making this dome around the foundation stone, rock of creation of the world. And the importance of this is, in the bigger picture, and this is what the Mekubalim point out, everything that is the first creation in this world has a intrinsic Kedusha. You see it in the Bikurim fruit we bring from Eretz Israel. We see it in the Kedusha of the Bechar, who's born from a human body, who's born from an animal body. The first fruits always have a unique Kedusha and intrinsic sanctity. So the sanctification of the universe created by the Ribbono Shel'olam, the intrinsic sanctity of the beginning of Bria, of the Bikurim of creation, was this Evan HaShasiyah, which means it has a very intense Kedusha, based upon the fact it was the Bikurim of the creation of Briyat Olam, going back to the beginning of Briyat Olam. That's number one. Number two, what the Ribbono Shel'olam said, if that's the case, it not only is Mekadesh where the actual rock is in the area of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but also all Yerushalayim and the Makam HaMikdash benefits from that specific sanctification Kedusha. And in turn, Eretz Israel has also an extension of this unique Kedusha, to the point that the Mishnah tells us in Sefer Taros that there are 10 Kedushas that exist in Eretz Israel. The most holy is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And as you spread out, they become less intense. And this Kedusha is not merely just the intrinsic Kedusha, because this was the place of Briyat HaOlam. And as the Bali Kabbalah point out, the Eretz Israel, where they have the Kodesh HaKadoshim, is the Emtzos, is the midpoint of all of the Bria, of all of creation. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu then tells us in Parshas Ekev, Eina Hashem Elokecha Bo Mireisha Hashana Achos Hashana, that there's a certain divine scrutiny, Hashgacha Paratis, that Hashem puts in Eretz Israel, and He makes that actual Hashgacha Paratis seen not only by the fact we have a Kabbalah that Hashem watches Eretz Israel continuously 24/7, 365 days a year, as the Pasuk says in Ekev, but Hashem's divine presence, when it comes Hashem's Kedusha HaShechina, the different levels of Hashem's Shechina, that he allows to exist in any place at any specific point in time. He's able to make the Kedusha very, very intense. He's able to make his Kedusha less intense. The places that he wants to show are more holy. There you have the most intense presence of Hashem's divine presence over there. And his Kedusha's Hashchina is given that type of intensity. Places that are further away have a less intensity of Hashem's Shechina. And as you spread out in the world at large, the Shechina quote obviously over there is on a very minimal level compared to the Kedusha of Hashem's divine presence and Hashlacha Pratis that you find in Eretz Israel. The Ramban, in fact, says in his Perish Lechumish in Achrei Mais that the reason HaKadosh Baruch gave us the mitzvah of Yishev Eretzot to live in Eretz Israel is that we, as the Am HaKadosh, the holy people of Hashem, the Am HaNivchar, should be able to be exposed to the highest intensity of Hashem's divine Shechina and be subject to Hashem's intensive Hashlacha Pratis at its highest level. The only place on the face of this universe where that is possible is in the environments in Eretz Israel. And the closer you get to Yerushalayim, and the closer you get to the Makom HaMikdash, the more intense is the divine presence of Hashem, the greater Kedusha of that specific location, the greater essence of Hashlacha Pratis, divine providence. So that was the reason Hashem wanted us to live in Eretz Israel. If we want to connect to Hashem by doing mitzvahs, the place on the face of this planet, of this universe, where you can have the greatest connectivity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in doing our Torah and mitzvahs and get the strongest, the vacus we possibly can have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The only place on the face of earth where this is possible is in the environments in Eretz Israel, and specifically Yerushalayim Yir HaKadosh, near into the Makom HaMikdash itself. That was the power of Asur L'Migdash V'Shechanti B'Sochan, make me a Migdash, a holy sanctified location, Shechanti B'Sochan, you'll be able to feel the imminence of Hashem's divine presence in that location on the most intense level possible in the environment of the world and the ultimate environment of Eretz Israel and Yerushalayim Yir HaKadosh. This is the concept of Hashem's divine presence coming down here for us to be able to relate to Hashem, to connect to Hashem to give us Siyata Deshmaya in intensification of our Torah and Mitzvahs, that we should have the ability to succeed and get the most out of Torah and Mitzvahs in the most holy place on the face of this earth. It should inspire us to have Avat Hashem, Yiret Hashem, sensing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine presence. There were miracles taking place in the Mikdash each and every day, as the Mishnah tells us in the fifth chapter of Pirkei Avos, open miracles to show that Teva, natural law, was not impacting upon the way the Beis HaMikdash function and the divine presence of Hashem changes natural law, manipulates natural law, as we saw throughout Torah history of the Klal Yisrael. So if that's the case, a Makom HaMikdash is a tangible place on the face of this earth, as we as human beings need a place to go to feel this has very intense Hashgachas Hashem. It's imminent, even though there's transcendence of Hashem as well. Able to feel it, be margish it, connect to Hashem, and our tefillahs will be purer, our tefillahs will be more powerful, our Torah learning will be more intense, Avi Darasal Machim, the environment Darasal allows us to reach levels in Chachmas and Torah perhaps we cannot reach outside in Chutz La'aretz, the tremendous milos of being in that type of environment. And that is one of the reasons that the Ramban says Hashem wants us to live in Eretz Israel, that we should be in this Heichal HaKadosh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One of the Mishalim given by our Chazal is that Eretz Israel is the palace of the king. Chutz La'aretz is the courtyard outside the palace. And the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Beis HaMikdash is the inner sanctum of Hashem's divine palace. That's what Eretz Israel is all about. And that's what the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be, the place of Hashem's intense Shechina to be felt by Klal Yisrael going there, and that should give you the Siyata Shvayin, the Hashkacha Pratzah Hashem, to be able to ask Hashem for our needs and necessities, to petition Hashem. Hashem should give us Siyata Deshmaya in Avedus Hashem. As the Ramban says, putting on a pure tefillin, which is the Mitzvah Shebegufo, is more powerful and impacting upon us when we do it in Eretz Israel than if we do the same thing in Chutz La'aretz. So it gives us a Siyata Deshmaya to elevate the mitzvah performance and give it a greater intensity in sanctifying us. Asher kedushanu b'mitzvosav, elevating our spiritual sensitivities, connecting us to Hashem. This is the whole purpose of having a Makom HaMikdash. But if that's the case, we're not coming to the Ikkar of today's Shiur. Since the bias is therefore symbolically showing us how to connect to Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam, when we built the Beis HaMikdash, wanted the Beis HaMikdash to contain continual messages that we get by analyzing the physical construction of the Makom HaMikdash, by analyzing the physical construction of the holy vessels that Hashem told us to put in the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And this was supposed to give us a certain message through symbolic import and understanding of what these specific kelim stood for. And that's what the Shiur is going to be about today. What is the symbolic spiritual message we're getting by building these four utensils, holy vessels, in the Makom HaMikdash? What is the Torah Hashkafa we're supposed to take from it? So sit back, listen carefully, as I share with you what Chazal says in the symbolism of the holy vessels of the Makom HaMikdash, what we derive from it, how this quite obviously intensifies our spiritual and intellectual connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So sit back and listen as I explain it to you. Let's go into a very interesting Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, the second Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us, there was a gadol whose name was Shimon HaTzadik. He was Mishyari Knesses HaGadola. He was from the last great members of the Agos Vadi, the Anshe Knesses HaGadola, which was the name of the Sanhedrin HaGadol that functioned during the Tekufa of the Second Temple of Bayis Sheni. He was one of the great, great leaders of that Knesses HaGadola. And he said, Al Shlosha Dvarim Olam Omed. If you want to know the pillars that exist in our world, that keep our world and the universe at large in existence, what are the pillars that keep the world going? Al HaTorah, the pillar of Torah. Al Avodah, the pillar of divine service, of sacrificial service, Tefillah. Al Gemilas Chasodim, on the concepts of acts of loving kindness. That these are the three pillars Hashem had established, keep the world alive, keep the world functioning, gives us the schus kiyum for Hashem's Briyat Olam to continue each and every day. We say in our davening in the morning, Hashem is mechadish b'chol yom tomid masa b'reishis. Every day Hashem basically pushes his divine button that the world continue to exist for another day, for another day, for another day. This happens every day of the year. And the actual mitzvahs that animate this system from our part is if we make sure the pillar of Torah is preserved, the pillar of Avodah is preserved, and the pillar of Gemilas Chasadim. It just so happens when it comes to the Kelim that I mentioned before, the golden altar, the Shulchan of Lechem Aponim, and the menorah, if you think about it for a couple of minutes, these three Kelim on a symbolic level correspond to the three amudim with which the world exists. And let me explain to you what I mean. When it comes to the menorah, as I'm going to teach you, is symbolic of the pillar of Torah. When it comes to the concept of the Mizbeach Hazav, that they burn Keteris on each and every day, that is part of the pillar of Avodah, of Hakrovas HaKarban and Tfilais. The Shulchan of Lechem Aponim is the pillar of Gemilas Chasadim, as I'm going to explain to you. So the three amudim that keep the world and the universe intact and give us the ability to keep on going are represented by the three holy vessels that he can contain in the Kodesh of the Beis HaMikdash. In the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we had the Oren HaKodesh. That, as we're going to see, is a special keli that allows us to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam on a very unique and distinct fashion, has a special chashivas with Neyatzvo. Let me now present these particulars, and you'll see how this all fits together. I'm going to start with, number one, the concept of the menorah itself. The menorah itself had seven lights. And Chazal tell us what's interesting is that the wicks of this specific candelabrum, wicks which were drawing Shemen Zayas, pure Shemen Zayas, the wicks were put in such a way that all the wicks from the right side and the left side were facing towards the middle Ner. That middle Ner was called the Ner HaMaravi, and that Ner HaMaravi was facing in such a way it was pointing towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim in that direction. What is the symbolism of building a menorah? What is it coming to teach us? What is the importance and significance and the symbolism of this? So Chazal quote a pasuk, Ki ner mitzvah v'teru'er, that neros are basically mitzvahs, they enlighten us. Teru'er, but the greatest power of light in this world is the R, the spiritual R that emanates from the Torah that we learn. The menorah, whose major purpose was to enlighten, to give off R, the R that is basically demonstrated by the Ner HaMaravi is the R of Torah. The incredible power of the light of Torah that lightens up the world, gives us perspective of what's right and what's wrong. It represents the Koach of Torah in all of its ramifications. Nigla v'nister, the power of the light of Torah is something that is literally infinite in nature. So that is what the Ner HaMaravi of the candelabra is. It's representing Torah, the Amud of Torah. What's the purpose of the other Neros? Three on this side, three on the other side, that are pointing with their wicks and their fires towards the Ner HaMaravi. So Chazal have upon this incredible Midrashim. And what Chazal say is that these six other lights, the other wicks, represent the Chachma of Briat Olam that Hashem created at the time of Maaseh Bereishis. Not only did Hashem create the Koach of Torah, He created the Chachma of scientific reality that is the underpinnings of the natural law of the world in which we exist today. And there are various Chachmas of scientific value that are the Yesodas Hashem established to allow natural law to run according to the rules and regulations of the natural he created, and the systems of scientific phenomenon that emanate from this are manifestations of the Chachma of the physical creation of Briat Olam. Those Chachmas represent, therefore, the Chachmas of the scientific concept of Briat Olam. The Gadol who could obviously accentuate this, or Midrashim would say this, but the Gadol who accentuates this, interestingly, is one of the Gedolim you've heard of in his Sfarim. We're talking about the famous Rav Yonis and Eibishes, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And he points out, if you look at these six lights and the Chachma B'riyat Olam that they represent, he gives us some examples of what these specific candles stand for. What type of Chachma? What type of scientific phenomenon? So he says, number one, we have the concept of mathematics. Science is a mathematics. The concept of measuring things. Science of numbers, of geometry, algebra, etc., how to measure things. There are a lot of halachas that are based upon being expert in mathematics, how you measure where the Egel Aruf is when it comes to figuring out which city is the closest, measuring the cities of the Levium, where the Tchumim mentioned the Chumash itself. We have to know math because a lot of the halacha that we do is based upon mathematical calculations. One of the candles stands for mathematical science, the science of math. Interesting. Another candle stands for the science of weights and measures. The fact of the matter is, we have a hakpod of the Torah that our weights and measures should be honest. You have to have a chachma how to create weights and measures and how they function and how they help us observe the concept of having honest and ethical weights and measures. That concept, the science of weights and measures and the mechanics of this, is another chachma. Another chachma is the chachma of the scientific reality of vision, the concept of optics. You have to know how optics work. If an aide comes to Bezin and says, I saw so-and-so kill so-and-so, the Bezin asks questions based upon the knowledge of optics. How far away were you standing to be able to give the accuracy of the aid that he's giving us now? Therefore, they had to know, figure out, based upon the concept how optics work, whether this person was even in a position to basically say what he's saying when it comes to his testimony concerning the visualization of this violation of halacha. So optics is an important phenomenon. The science of astronomy, which Chazal tell us was a very special science
that Klal had perhaps more expertise in it than anybody else. Our entire calendar system depends upon our astronomic knowledge of what happens with the rotation of the Earth and rotation of the Moon around the Earth and the rotation of the Moon and Earth around the Sun. We have to be experts in astronomy to know how long it takes, how many hours in a day, how many days in a week, how many days in a year, minutes, everything else. We have to be experts in astronomy to figure out how this works, to be able to determine how we basically measure time, how we basically know when it's day, when it's night, how we declare when a new moon, when a new month begins and a moon and a new month ends. All of this is based upon the science of astronomy. And therefore, Kiddush HaChodesh cannot be done unless we had scientific knowledge. One of the Gedolim in the Tanaim, when people used to come to say we saw the new moon, he used to have in his office various configurations of different moon sizes, and to see whether they're telling us accurate testimony or not, he used to say to the Edom, please point to me which chart shows you the moon you saw at this day in the beginning of the month to know whether the Edom was accurate or not. So that's another chokmah of science. The science of biology, the science of medicine in general, the science when it comes to Dam Nida, for instance, what's Tameh, what's Tahar, all of this, when it comes to the concept of biology, you have to know that for different areas. You have to know that when it comes to determining the physiology of animals, is an animal treif, is an animal kosher, the physiology of human beings, when it comes to determining whether a person's sick or healthy, and how I cure that specific disease. You need that scientific information to basically to do the mitzvah pekuach nefesh. Botany, the concept of plants, plants and species of plants, what's considered kalayim, what's considered not kalayim. We have to know how to classify different plants and how planting takes place. The concept of zoology and all of that, what the animals are categorized when it comes to mating the same classification animals or not, is based upon a knowledge of the concept of zoology. The science of chemistry was important when it comes to how we learn how to manipulate metals, to make the Mishkan, to make other types of utensils that we have to make. You have to know how chemistry works to be able to come to these conclusions. So these seven lights with the middle and the Amarav represents Torah in all its essence. The other six lights, which are pointed towards the actual light of the Ne'amaravi, represent the Chachmas of Bryas Olam that were important to know, because with them, we're able to figure out how to interpret the Torah, how to observe the Torah, and Mekayim the Torah. In fact, the Maral Mitrag says,
you are listening in one of his Ben's Torah,
he says, what is the relationship of Chachmas of Bryas Olam to the Torah itself? So he says, the other wisdoms of the world, other Chachmas Olam, are a ladder upon which we can ascend to the wisdom of the Torah, since all the various parts of the Torah need certain scientific information for us to be able to interpret the Torah part properly and to apply it properly. They therefore, like the Misharsim, the maidservants, are helping, quite obviously, the master be able to do what he has to do for the Torah to teach us. We have to know those phenomena in the secular world that dovetail with the Torah in this specific mitzvah for us to therefore interpret the Torah properly in that area. If you want to know how far this goes, the Vilna Gaon is quoted making the following statement. He says that depending upon the lack of knowledge of other Chachmas of Bryas Olam, the amount of lack of knowledge in those other areas, correspondingly, the person will lack a hundredfold of the Torah wisdom that corresponds to it. You have to know the Chachmas of Bryas Olam that relates to that mitzvah of Torah to be able to use that Torah on the maximal level. In fact, he told his Talmud, Rav Baruch HaShklov, to translate into Lashon HaKodesh the various Chachmas of Bryas Olam that existed at that time for them to study up to therefore know those secular knowledges of science that are needed for the various mitzvahs of Halakha itself. So we therefore see that the menorah represents the concept of the Ar Shel Torah, the Chachmas of Bryas Olam. Chazal say that in fact the physical universe was modeled after the spiritual universe. There is a connectivity going back to Bryas Olam, that the concept of Ruchnius was the source from which the Gashmius was created. Dvorim HaTivim, the Gashmius, is Bedimium Dvorim HaSichlium, as Rabbi Ben Bachai Ben Asher says. So therefore, the menorah represents the attainment of Torah knowledge, the pillar of Torah, and all the other chachmas of Bnei Olam that support Torah in this specific quest. Very interesting, the Amud of Torah. What is the symbolism of the Mizbeach Hazav? So Chazal tell us that when it comes to sacrifices, most of the sacrifices brought in the Beis HaMikdash were physical animals. Animals, either the shor, the kes of the eis, basically the cows as an example, bulls. We had just sheep, and we had also goats. These are animals that were used, behemos, taharos, which we used for karbanos. We had eifes. We had obviously pigeons and turtle doves. So those were the physical karbanos that were primarily brought on the outer mizbeach that was in the actual azara outside the Kodesh and Kodesh HaKodashim. But inside the Kodesh, we had the Mizbeach Hazav. The only carbon that was brought upon it each and every day was the burning of incense. Chazal say the burning of incense is more related to the human Avodas Hashem than the animal outside. The animal outside perhaps represents the physical body of every human being. What happens to animals should have happened to us if we sinned. So, or Adam ki Yaakov mikem karban laHashem, the pasuk says. So what's the mikem? The body of the animal represents our physical body in dedicating our body to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, when it comes to our Heilige Neshama, the Heilige Neshama has no physical body. It's incorporeal. So how do we show our souls are dedicating our Neshama, our soul, our Neshama, to the spiritual connectivity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with our tfilos, our brachos? What avodah in the Migdash, a sacrificial level, represents that type of avodah of the human being? That Chazal says the Mizbeach Hazav. When you cause the incense to burn on the Mizbeach, it's really, you smell it, it's intangible, might be smoke coming up, but it's still intangible. That represents the neshama of a Jew, or even a guy in that respect, reaching up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in prayer, in divine prayer, saying that Hashem wants to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After all, since we have the Selam Elokim, the Nishmas Hashem of our Neshama, which was Vayipak Apav Nishmas V'Rechaim, Hashem blew the soul into mankind at the time of Riyat HaOlam, that phenomenon reoccurs continuously. Every time a child is physically being created in the uterus of its mother, Gimel Shutfim Ba'adam, the parents give the physical matter of the human being, the genetics that's needed to create with the chromosomes, the physical body of the human being, male and female. So the mother and father are the contributors for that. And the Rebbeinu Shem gives us our neshama, our Atzelem Elokim. He blew it into our nostrils. Every time a human being is in the process of being created, the ensoulment takes place during the creation of that child in the 9 months in their mother's uterus before they're born into this world. The desire and the aspiration of the Nishmas Hashem, that neshama, the Ner Adam, that light, the spiritual light in us, tries to reconnect to Hashem every time we're involved in prayer and doing Avodas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to connect with the source that it came from initially. And if that's the case, the avod of doing Avodas HaKarban, Adam Ki Yaakov Mikem Karban LaHashem, our neshama reconnects to Hashem by the avoda of the actual besamim being burnt, the incense being burnt on top of the Mizbeach Hazav. That alludes to the ultimate Avedis Hashem. In fact, Chazal tell us something quite interestingly. Everybody chalishes to be able to be a sandik at a bris. Chazal tell us, midrashically, kabbalistically, that when a bris is done, it's as if a hakrovas, a kavan is being done to HaKadosh Baruch at that point in time. And the sandik who sits and holds the child during the bris is looked upon as the Mizbeach Hazav. And the child who's undergoing circumcision is similar to the Haktaris Hakateris that took place in the Beis HaMikdash, Chazal tell us, the imagery. And if that's the case, Chazal tell us, let's understand the similarity. The fact of the matter is, Chazal tell us, that a bris is a very holy activity. In fact, the Mishnah says, Masechlus Ludarim Gedola Brismila, Brismila is so powerful. Shenichu Su'aleh Yigimel Brisos. There were 13 separate covenants made between Klai Yisrael and the Rebbeinu Shalom when he introduced to us doing the mitzvah of Bris Milah, going all the way back to the time of Avraham Avinu and Pashas Lech Lecha. And if that's the case, if the Brish shows a connection of Kedusha between man and God, a mitzvah has 13 covenants. Allah has kama vekama. The Kedusha and the sanctity and the connectivity between man and God by performing a bris mila is on a very high level. In fact, we say in one of the brachas we recite by the bris, it says of chasim ba'os bris kodesh, the progeny of Avraham Avinu had the final chasima, the finishing touch on their all spirituality by the bris kodesh, by doing the circumcision. But the circumcision is compared not to the sacrifice of an animal, to the sacrifice of besamim, the incense on the mizbeach, to emphasize the ruchni, the spirituality of the bris mila, being similar to the spirituality that's attained when you be mocked at the Keteris in the Beis HaMikdash. So we therefore see the Mizbeach itself, Zov, represents the pillar of Aveda mentioned by Chazal. What is the purpose and functionality of the Shulchan of the Lechem HaPanim? So I want to share with you a very beautiful presentation that was made by Rabbi Nebachi ben Usher in his Pirish to the Chumash in Parshas Teruma. And he comes and he says the following. I want you to listen very carefully as I share with you the brilliance of his interpretation, the depth of his interpretation, and you'll see how this impacts upon a lot of the stuff I mentioned up until this point in time. He says, I want to mention to you that the Shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash, in which you had the Lechem HaPanim that were baked each and every week, fresh Lechem HaPanim were put onto the table on Shabbos, the old Lechem HaPanim was removed and divided amongst the Kohanim, and the bread stayed fresh an entire week until you replaced it with the next Lechem HaPanim that were made to be put on the table anew every Shabbos Kodesh. What is the symbolism of the Shulchan? What is it coming to teach us? It's to teach us that this specific Alderech HaPshat, he says, it tells us that the Shulchan of the Beis Hashem, and Hashem's Beis HaMikdash, it is this item, this vessel, that brings the concept of the bracha of physicality, of gashmius, of materialism, of parnasa into this world. In the schus of the shulchan, of the lechem apanim, the concept of the parnasa sa'olam, of giving people the ability to survive the physical needs they need in this world, are brought in the schus of the Shulchan of the Lechem HaPanim. The Lechem that's on it is eaten by the Kohanim, Mishasa HaMikdash, and the fact of the matter is, it was such a powerful food, even for a little bit of it, it satiated the Kohanim, that's how it would give you tremendous Sviya. Chazal tell us the following. They point out that why is it called a Shulchan, a table? Sha'akadosh Baruch Hu Shaleach Birchaso V'Lechem Shalav. Word shlucha means shlichus. Hashem sends his divine baracha for panos and gashmius in this world by having us do the avodah on the shulchan itself. Misham habracha mishtaleach b'chol hamazaynas. Through the shulchan, Hashem's divine blessing goes in all the foods we consume in this world. V'avos soveil olam, I bring satiation of food to the people who live in this world. Habracha zuhoya yesh miyesh. It's a bracha of yesh, giving power to more yesh, as what obviously we as human beings are capable of doing. Yesh gives power to other yesh. Yesh creates other yesh. But obviously from grains of wheat, we can make our bread. So a yesh comes from a yesh. Bria yesh me'ayin is only HaKadosh Baruch Hu's level. No human being has the capacity of yesh me'ayin, only yesh me'yesh. So he says, I want you to know something. When it comes to this specific shulchan, it's very interesting. The bread on it represents the concept of food supply and satiation and bracha of mezonos for the world at large. In fact, there's a Medrash Chazal that tell us that especially during the Yom Tov of Sukkos, where we did an extra avodah of Nisach HaMayim, so the avodah of the Mikdash on Sukkos was so powerful, it brought bracha of panasa and satiation to not only Klal Yisrael, but to all the nations on the face of this earth. All Shiva Umar Velashon were benefiting from the Brechas of Panasa, Teva, and Bracha, from the Avodah of Sukkis, with the Nisach HaMayim, plus the Avodah, quite obviously, of the Lechem HaPanim over here. Chazal say if the world would have known the Bracha the world receives by us doing the Avodah in the Mikdash, with the Lechem Apanim and the Nisach HaMayim, the world would have known the power of this. Not only the Beis HaMikdash wouldn't have been destroyed, but they would have put their soldiers around the Beis HaMikdash from all sides to let nobody ever come close to it, to destroy it. It was a tremendous treasure trove, a bracha to the world when it comes to what the Shulchan was able to accomplish. The Medrash says the following. The Shulchan was made, listen to this, it was gold on the surface, but the inner core was made from a wood called Atzei Shita. Some say this is acacia wood. So the Medrash says the word Shita, Shin Tes Yud Mem Sofis, is an acronym. This Shulchan Alechem Apanim is made from Atzei Shittim in its inner core, because Shittim represents four brachas you have from the Shulchan. Number one, it's a source Shin of Shalom, a bracha, a peace. The Tes stands for Tova, goodness into this world. The Yud of stands for, when it comes to Shittim, the concept of Yeshua, the concept of salvation. And the Mem stands for the concept of Mechila, of forgiveness. That the Shulchan itself, besides everything else, because it contained in the inner core Atzei Shittim, was a source, besides all the panos I mentioned, of the concept of Shalom, Teva, Yeshua, Umechila Ba'ila. So we therefore see that quite obviously this specific table was a very powerful entity. We find that Aron HaKodesh and the Mizbeach also had as an inner core in some of the utensils this type of wood. So all the brachas mentioned by the Shulchan also apply to those utensils that had an inner core of this acacia wood as well. It then brings out the following, that when it comes to the Mizbeach and the Shulchan, Chazal say, our Shulchan is Bemel Mizbeach. What's the similarity? So Rabbi Nebachi says, the Mizbeach itself was a kapara for people's failures, spiritual failures in this world. You brought karbanas, one of the reasons was kapara. The lechem that's on the Shulchan is chashev like a karban, agabi ha-mizbeach. Adam tovayin, when a person has a good, generous spirit, and he's made to v'machol aniyim, and he brings poor people on his table to eat and drink, Chazal say, if that's the case, this specific table becomes, for this person who has hachnas zark on his table, it becomes for him a mizbeach. And what it tells us is man shebeis hamikdash kayam, the person got kapara through the mizbeach and the karbanos. Akshav now, that we don't have momentarily the beis hamikdash, what causes kapara? The kapara is done by the shulchan of the person practicing gemilas chesed on the table. So if that's the case, the table corresponds to gemilas chesed, and if that's the case, the amud of gemilas chesed is manifested by the shulchan in the makam hamikdash. There's a minig of chasidim harishainim in the time of Tsarfas, the rishainim of the tekufa of in French, German gedolim, French gedolim as well. Sheosim mishulchanam aron lekvura. Interesting minig that the table they ate on their entire life, if the balabas passed away, some of them used to take their wooden table, take it apart, and use the table to be the urn in which they're buried in the earth. Laharas, to teach us, ki adam lo yisam umar biyado lo yavena bamalo kiim hatzadaka she'oise b'chayav. The only thing you're going to take to the next world is not your bank account or any of the other accounts you have that are financial resources of your parnasa, but what you take to the next world is the incredible value of all the chesed and tzedakah you did during your lifetime. Therefore, you're encompassing yourself with the table's wood upon which you did the tzedakah v'chesed. And therefore, Chazal say, a very interesting maimer Chazal, he says, Hamarach al shulchano, a person who's marach in hachnasas archan on the shulchan, marichin lo yama v'shnosav, their life is lengthened. Chazal point out, very interestingly, that the word Shulchan, which is used for an Aron, also has an acronym. Listen to the acronym. What does Shulchan mean? So it says that the concept of Shin, Rosh, it says the concept of Shin, stands for the concept of shomor, this is watched. Lamed stands for likavura. The ches stands for chesed. And the nun stands for nidir vasecha. The table represents the schar that is safe for you in Shemayim at the time of burial, for you to present to HaKadosh Baruch Hu the chesed, the charity you did, loving kindness you did, with all the nedivos spirit you had, sharing your resources with others. We therefore see that the repository of bringing the pillar of Gemilas Chasadim into this world, that is accomplished with the symbolism and the actual activities performed with the Shulchan. So we therefore see, Talmidos and Talmidim, that the concept of the three Amudei Olam, the Torah, and the Avodah Gemilas Chasadim are represented symbolically. The menorah as the Torah Amud, the actual Mizbeach Hazav represents Avodah Hashem, and the Shulchan represents the concept of the Amud of Gemilas Chasadim. What's the functionality, Rabbi Isai, my dear men and women are listening today, to the concept of the Aron HaKadosh that was put in the Kadosh HaKadoshim? So Chazal point out that if you look on top of the Aron HaKadosh, as we're reading this week's parsha, as it describes how it was created, the inner core of the Aron was the acacia wood, the Aseh Shittim. It was then surrounded on all sides by gold. It then had as a cover, the kapores, also gold cover. On top of the gold cover that was carved into this gold, from one big piece of gold, the kuruvim that were facing each other. Inside the Aron HaKadosh, they placed the luchos that Hashem gave Moshe, the luchos harishonos and the luchos hashnios. According to some interpretations in the Gemara Baba Basra, there was even a space to put one of the Sifrei Torah Moshe wrote at the end of his life, the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, a scroll was put into the Aron HaKadosh. So if that's the case, it was the repository of Torah inside the containment area of the Aron. In fact, Chazal say that on the Luchos Hashem gave us, the Talmud Yerushalayim and Shkolim, there were already Ramazim of an outline of the concept of Torah Shaped that were literally engraved into the sides of the Luchos Habris as well. So therefore, Aron represented the repository of Torah Shebikseh and Torah Shebapeh. What's the functionality of the Aron HaKadosh? So tell us, Chazal, the Beis Levi quotes this very beautifully. He points out how interesting it is that you have two kruvim that are carved out with wings facing one another. Now the faces are facing one another, but if you look very carefully the way the Pasuk says it, even the faces are facing each other, the faces themselves with the nose area is facing downward as if you're looking to the top of the Aron HaKadosh. And what is the symbolism of creating this in the Kadosh HaKadoshim? So tell us the Chazal that the Kruvim represent, believe it or not, one Kruv represents Klal Yisrael, the other Kruv represents Chavyochel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even though Hashem has no physicality, nevertheless, it's symbolically representing Hashem. What is the purpose of the Kruvim facing each other? It's to basically give Eidus that Hashem has special Hashgacha Pratis, special divine attention given to his Aman Yifcha to Klal Yisrael. Therefore, the Kruvim are facing each other. The Kruv of Hashem, Kaviyachal, is therefore the Hashgacha Pratis of Hashem facing the Kruv of Klal Yisrael, to show the intimate connection between Klais and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, contained in the holiest place on the face of this universe, in the Kadosh HaKadoshin, on top of the Evan HaShasiya, which is underneath, as I explained before. What is the functional purpose of the Aron HaKadosh? First, to tell us that the Ikar of Klal Yisrael is built upon us having Torah. Torah is the Ikar. Nasev Nishma Hasina, when I came to Kabbalah, said Torah, we call it Zman Matan Teresenu. The Ika Kesha between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Torah we accept in Nasev Nishma on Har Sinai. The reason the Kruvim, which are facing each other, are also facing downward as if they're looking into the actual Aron HaKadosh underneath the golden cover is to tell us the following Yesod. If you want to have an intimacy
and a connectivity and a proper devekus between yourself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the only means and mechanism that Hashem created for us to accomplish this specific feat is by immersing ourselves in the Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shel Peh that's contained in the inner cavity of the Aron HaKodesh. The way we connect to Hashem is by our in-depth knowledge of Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shel Peh. The deeper we go, the deeper we understand the divine mindset of Hashem and the Ratzon of Hashem, what He wants us to do in this world and to accomplish during our lifetime. So the Aron HaKodesh is the vessel that symbolizes you want to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the highest level with the greatest Yadda D'Shmaya, with the greatest Hashkacha Pratis Hashem gives, because Hashem gives you Hashkacha Pratis based upon your immersement in Torah and performance of mitzvahs. The more you're immersed in Torah and the more you do mitzvahs and the holy you are, the more Hashkacha Pratis Hashem gives you. It's a Mida Keneged Mida. So the Aron teaches us, you want to connect to Hashem and have that intimacy, that Devekis. The only way to accomplish it is to become an expert and a Baki in the Torah that Hashem gave us at Har Sinai. Expertise and understanding Torah Shatayr Shel Peh, whether you're a man or woman, allows you to develop an ability to perceive and connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at a very high spiritual level, to model your life in a spiritual model because of the Hashpah that Torah gives you in sanctifying your spiritual essence and your physical essence. Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvaysav. Aaron reminds us the only way to connect Hashem on the highest, most intense level is through the study of Torah and the practicing of the halachas in Torah and the mitzvahs contained in the Torah. That is why there's one other thing I want to mention to you, which is quite fascinating. I pointed out before that the menorah had the middle part of the menorah, which is called the Neh HaMaravi, and it was called the Neh HaMaravi because its wick was pointed towards the west, directly facing the Aron HaKodesh and the Kodesh HaKodashim. Chazal say, what is the symbolism of that? Is to tell us that the Koyach of Torah, of connecting us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is symbolized, by the way, as I mentioned before, the Kruvim looking down into the contents of what's contained in the Aron HaKodesh, that the menorah that represents the learning of Torah and studying of Torah, and the in-depth studying and analysis of Chachmas Abriyas Olam, which facilitate our knowledge of Torah even on a higher collective level when it comes to the Chachmas Abriyas Olam that needed to be known to practice the Tayyum Mitzvahs contained in the Torah. When we immerse ourselves in this type of information gathering and intensity of this type of learning, it gives us the ability to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We start to appreciate who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. We develop HaKaras HaTayv. Look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what you created for us. Barasi, Yetzar Barasi Torah Toglo. We might have a Yetzahara, but the Torah was created to be the condiment, the medical and spiritual medicine we have to cure our Yetzahara, to allow our Yetzah Tov to have ultimate Shlita upon us. The Torah is the cure for all the evils. It is a Kayach of Baracha for our success and Hatzlach in this world on every level possible, both for Ruchnius and Gashmius. The Neh HaMaravi therefore connects the menorah directly to the Aron HaKodesh, the same symbolism that the Ik of Klal Yisrael and our success in this world is through the Koyach of Torah. Chazal say, if Klal Yisrael are immersed in Torah, Torah has a very, very big power. It is Matzil Umagen. It saves us from all different types of tzaris, and it protects us. It's a shield, a divine shield. We say Magen Avram every day. Hashem shields us from destruction. What is the Magen? The Magen is accomplished with the learning of Torah and the observance of Torah. Therefore, if that's the case, when we have Torah as the Iker of our lives, no matter what else we do for Panos, but Torah is the Iker of our lives, when that's the focus we have, the Haganah, the protection of Klal Yisrael is guaranteed, the Hatzal of Klal Yisrael from our enemies is guaranteed, the survival of Klal Yisrael is by the Koyach of Torah. So this, my dear Tamidim Tamidas, is a little mixas understanding of the symbolism of the four Kelim I mentioned in the Kodesh and Kodesh HaKodashim. Be careful in Torah learning, in our sacrificial Avodah Hashem, in our case, davening with tremendous Kavanos,
the concept of Gemilas Chasadim, which is a major Yisod, this world and the next world as well. All of them come together as a crescendo of Amudim and allows us to connect to Hashem as the Aron HaKodesh represents on the highest level possible in a Makom Shel Kedusha. The Musa Shmuz to us today is one day we're going to have the third Beis HaMikdash built on the Makom HaKodesh of Har HaBayis, and we're going to see it once again built in its glory in its Teferas as we come to Yemos HaMashiach and the end of days and the ultimate Gula takes place. We have to realize if we want to exist and continue and to be here and to zoche to see that, we have to strengthen our Torah learning in this world of Klal Yisrael. We have to strengthen our Shmiras Torah V'mitzvahs in this world, because in this chus of Torah, that will give us the ability to be Nitzal and to be Matzliach. Especially now in Eretz Israel, where there's such a tumult, as Chazal told us, that the roaring and the anger of the Goy Gomog nations are trying to, Rachmanu Litzlan, destroy Klal Yisrael and destroy Eretz Israel. This Chazal already prophesied in Sefer Yecheskel and Zechariah, another Nevi'im, is going to happen at the end of time before Mashiach comes. We see it happening in front of our eyes. Each and every day when you read the news, you see what the Machshavas Haraz of the Rishei HaOlam of the Gog Magog nations are trying to do to us. The UN is the manifestation of a Gog Magog on the highest anti-Semitic level, as we see what they do every day when it comes to literally talking about negativity of Hashanah of Klal Yisrael. And the rest of the world are wonderful people, like we are bad. We see the manifestation of the level of the animus of Gog and Magog. Our survival for the present and for the future is the survival of Torah. If we perpetuate Torah, live a life of Torah, and that is the essence besides any other panasa we might have for giving us a livelihood. But Torah is the ikar of our life. It's Torah and Derech Eretz. Torah, obviously, is still the ik of what we have to be the focus of our life. We're on Eretz Yisrael to survive all the various evil designs and machshavas ra'as against us. We have to remember the symbolism of what Torah is able to do, and that is, it's matzel, it will save us. Megan, it will protect us. It's the koyach of Torah of Jews around the world, and the koyach of Torah that's growing each and every day with more tamidim and tamidas, yeshivas and seminaries, growing each and every day, each and every year in Eretz Israel, with numbers of Tamidim and Tamidavs that never existed before in Jewish history and our learning Torah in Eretz Israel. That is the segula for us being nitzel from our adversaries, Hashem being megan upon us. It's in the schus of Torah that we saw miracles a couple of weeks ago of missiles being shot at us. Hundreds and hundreds of missiles, and none of them hit the target to kill Rachman Litzlan, any Jews, the Samamish, Anes Nigla. Hashem's Anani HaKavod was spread with the armaments here Hashem gave us in Israel to protect ourselves from this type of weaponry. And the last couple of days ago, we saw another miracle in the Schus of Torah, that we're able to find explosive devices on buses before they exploded. And this, if Rachman Litzlan, Hashem didn't give us the Siyata Deshmaya for somebody to look at a bus and see inside a package that didn't look normal and to warn everybody, and they got off the bus in time, the bus exploded, and then they saw other buses explode, which had similar phenomenon, other buses which didn't explode yet, which had upon them devices ready to explode. Hashkachas Hashem is taking place. Thousands of Jews would have been killed if these things went off when they were supposed to go off, 9 a.m. in the morning, but Hashem made the people who put these devices there make a mistake. Instead of 9 a.m., it was 9 p.m., and therefore they blew up when they were no longer functional. They were in the depots, and thousands of human beings of Yidilach and Eretz Yisrael were saved. It's a mamish and es goli. We're living in a time that we need Hashem's Hatzol and Hagana like always. We witnessed it, and we're witnessing it now. We want to continue this Hatzalah, this Hagana, that strengthen our Torah, our Kim, our Mitzvahs, our Chesed, our Tzedakah, our Avedis Hashem by davening, with entire heart and soul. This will be the segula for us to be Menatzeach, and be Zalchah, and be Mashiach Tzidkenu, and to be Zalchah for ultimately the Migdash Achron, the last Migdash to be built, from the kind of mitzvah, also midrash shachanti b'sochem, that we see speeding this day with the coming of Shechita Kendo, the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, Kibbutz Galios, and the ultimate, the breaking of Shibud HaMalchus, and the ultimate shalom and peace that will take place from us Mashiach Tzikendo. And now you see what the Caleb are all about.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.